Good afternoon, and or good evening, or good night, as David Frost would say. It's 5 o'clock in the UK, and welcome to this week's What Comes Next Live. Coming to you from the dark, cold winter, or winter is coming if you're a Game of Thrones fan, from London, where I'm in central London, and my guest this week is the inimitable Mr. Ian Sanders, who often hosts people himself for conversation, from, I believe, Leigh-on Sea in Essex, which for people not in England is outside London and on the coast, and with container ships in the background, judging on his social media. And in my normal way, I will simply, with minimum introduction, hand over to Ian. And the one thing I'll say is that Ian and I crossed paths in the most positive way when Ian interviewed a mutual acquaintance of ours, the master coach from New York City, Jerry Colonna, at the now defunct H Club in London, another corona victim. The club, not Jerry, he's fine. And then we went for, I think for both of us, our last meeting before lockdown in March. So I've not spoken to Ian. We walked around the Thames. I've not spoken to Ian since then. So I'd love to hear from Ian where, how he's doing and what his thoughts are on what comes next. Over to you, Ian Sanders.
Hey, thanks, Tom. I know it's oft said, isn't it? But wow, you know, when we rewind to those times when we were doing things like sitting in a room of 50 people with Jerry Colonna, I mean, that was December. And that does seem like a different world. And indeed, it was my penultimate, not the last one before lockdown, the one before back in March. Yeah. It was a cold day. I think I was slightly late meeting you because I had to go and buy a hat from Muji. It was like really.
I remember, cold. Yes, you were not hatified, so you had to go and get a hat.
You know, it's really good to be here and to be here for this conversation strand that, you know, I find, obviously it's a great question you're asking people, Tom. And I don't know if you want me to dive right in with kind of where I'm at on it, but you know, like a lot of us, I suppose, you know, I'm not going to bullshit you or the people watching or listening to this, because my narrative has really been around. I've never really known what's coming next, and I'm not going to start getting the crystal ball out now. I've had a 30-year career, as I think you know, Tom, 10 years inside organizations and 20 years on the outside as an independent. I kind of identify as an entrepreneur rather than a freelancer, just in terms of kind of language around those things, as I know you do. And, you know, I guess the last 20 years, Tom, have been, you know, an incredible experiment in quite a long one, two decades, an incredible experiment in trying my hand at a lot of different things and really trying to find my way in life and career. And I've always been someone that, well, certainly the latter part of my career, who hasn't really ever had a big plan. Mm-hmm. I learned the hard way on that, because I started my career with a real detailed plan of what I was going to achieve. And it went amazing for quite a few years until I had a bit of a burnout and the plan exploded. And I then carved out what I kind of call the unplan. But part of that, I suppose, Tom, has been that. There's been a lot of uncertainty along the way as I've changed trajectory, changed paths, had the rug pulled from under me, as often we do in our business lives and life in general, because that's what happens, right? Life throws curveballs at us. And a friend of mine, also a client of mine, lovely guy that you'd like, actually, perhaps I should introduce him to for this, Michael Byrne, who heads up Carbon Law Partners. Michael and I had a chat during lockdown, and Michael said, you know, the thing about you and me is we have a previous track record. You know, we have a previous track record at riding out adversity and dealing with these curveballs. And I think it was a timely reminder, Tom, that, you know, without being complacent or too arrogant about it, it's like, I'm good at this stuff. I'm good at navigating my way through difficulty and difficult times. And I'm not going to lie, especially in the early part of our changing world back in March and April. I had a really tough time commercially as I lost work and rebuilt. And I guess what I've learned, which might be worth sharing kind of out loud now, is that I suppose I learned about slowing down, and I learned about taking the time for what I've been calling reflection and renewal. And in some of my workshops and in some of my coaching work, that's what I've been talking to people about, R&R, reflection and renewal, taking time to slow down, think about where we're at, and to think about how we rebuild and how we renew. And it's funny obviously you mentioned Jerry Colonna, because that's when we first met, Tom, but I was fortunate to have a couple of conversations with Jerry over in Boulder, Colorado, over the summer. And of course it's lovely having a conversation with Jerry, because he's so on it, he sees you exactly like what you're thinking, even if you might have not said it out loud. And he said to me that you're much slower than usual. You've really slowed down. Yeah. And it was quite an interesting reflection. And like a lot of us, I suppose, life moves at a fast pace, especially when you're an agile solopreneur. And I think that was an apt reflection, that it was time for Ian Sanders to slow down a bit and to look at what matters in life. And it's a lovely guy I know over in Baltimore called John, who we met online and had a kind of coached him for a while. And now we just, dial up on Zoom and hang out. And he had a lovely way of saying it. I put this out on social media. You might have seen it a few months ago. But John Ware said to me, normally it's like in life, our lives are so busy. They're like busy snow globes, little snow globes. Mm-hmm. And he said, now it feels like the snow globes have really settled. And we can all see what really matters and what's really important. And I love that. I love that. And that's my story too.
So what really matters now and what comes next here?
So I think what really matters is, it's weird, isn't it? Because I think about my professional life. And I think about what I do professionally, and I think about who I am personally. And I think there's always been a great alignment between those two since I walked out of the gates of 50 Lisson Street, NW1, December 1999, to carve my own life out as an independent. But I think more than ever, there's an alignment there. Therefore, the things that a lot of us have learned personally during the last few months about what really matters, about what is really dear to my heart, about my creative spirit, my sense of independence, about living by the estuary here, going for these lovely walks and swims, and all those kind of things. This is my life, as I put a blog post a while ago, this is my life, not an economic model. It's not a business model. This is my life, my 52nd year on this planet. And I think, in terms of what happens next and what comes next, it's about, for me, Tom, and in how I'm working with teams and leaders and individuals, it's about advocating that we all pay attention to the things that really matter. We're all different. We're going to have different indicators and metrics and things that really matter. Mm-hmm. And paying attention to those things, and without sounding too cheesy at 5 o'clock on a Tuesday evening, November, living our life true to who we really are, following us, paying attention to who we really are, and sticking to that. Because I know from my own experience what happens when we don't lead our professional lives aligned with that. My story of burnout from 1999 was a story of a fast track kind of trajectory to becoming managing director of a radio studio business, part of a media group that was about to float IPO on AIM as a PLC over here. And I was working very, very hard with a lot of pressure. And on the outside, I had all this success, yes, share options, a Muse house in Putney, Southwest London, earning a lot of money, a lot of disposable income, my evenings in Soho restaurants and members clubs, all the cliches. Mm-hmm. But under the surface, I was an unhappy young man. Mm-hmm. My job was making me ill. I had lost that creative spirit, and I had lost lost sense of who I really was, and I wasn't following me. Mm-hmm. And part of not having a plan, if this isn't mixing metaphors, part of not having a plan is that I do have a compass, and the compass is about following me. And in my walking coaching sessions, Fuel Safari, I must admit, I haven't done that many of in the last few months, but I've done some here by the coast. That's what I kind of shine a light on for others, Tom, about following you and what that looks like. And my story was that it was a game changer when I really started being comfortable with who I really was and going, this is who I am, and I'm not going to compromise on that. And I can lead and carve out a professional life that has that alignment with who I really am.
So there is there's an old phrase that Lenin said just after the Bolshevik war that led into their revolution in 1917, which is there are years when nothing happens and weeks when decades happen. Well, I think we certainly observed it in this country where the National Health Service, incredibly slow to move, suddenly started changing radically because it had to in April, yeah. First month of this. In business, one of the things I've found is that it often accelerates and amplifies things that were going to happen anyway. So there is that Thoreau quote that most men lead lives of quiet desperation. So by the time they reach their 52nd year, if they've been doing the same thing and didn't have a catalytic burnout or catalytic event, they're still doing it, right? Because they've never stopped to look and go, what really, paying attention to what really matters to them and aligning themselves. So I guess I'm just kind of curious for you to share, over the lockdown period and spending time at home at Leon Sea and going for swims up until the water was just too cold to get into the ocean very recently, from going to your social. What was already present that you maybe acted upon more or accelerated in terms of being even more aligned, which is what you said? So what's different from you now in November than at the beginning of March, 8 months ago?
Wow, that's a good question. I haven't been asked that. I think it's that I'm being a bit kinder to myself. I used to put myself under a hell of a lot of pressure. And I did in March and April, as I kind of had that fight or flight, as business trickled away. Actually, it didn't trickle away. It was a kind of like a movie script where Friday the 13th of March, and the day after our walk and talk, I met someone for lunch in Soho, and a lot of things changed. And I kind of panicked for a few weeks. And I think, I think maybe I've kind of settled into it's going to be all right, all believing my own hype and my own things about, you know, you've got through this before and having that previous track record and those things. And I guess also, like a lot of us, we have been very grateful for what we have, right? You know, I am very grateful that I actually moved out of London a while ago, happened to live by the coast here, and have all this on my doorstep. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm not in a high rise in Tower Hamlets, and I have a garden and all those things. I'm immensely privileged. And I suppose, yes, I was kind of grateful for those things anyway, Tom, but sitting here on November 3rd, yes, I do feel more and more grateful for those things. And also, I think, I don't want to spend too much time about the swims, but actually I've become quite, on my pinboard behind me, you know, I always kind of got this mantra, kind of count the things that count. And I have a list of, the last swim was on Saturday the 30th, and it was very, very cold in the Thames Estuary. Unfortunately, it's not the ocean. I should say, actually, the ocean would be freezing. The Thames Estuary is still very cold. That was my 89th swim of the seasons. And, you know, why do I write that down? Why do I care about it? Because every time I go in there, I feel a sense of aliveness. It's not really always about switching off. It's actually sometimes about getting my kind of ideas flowing, especially if I'm doing it on a working day, not on a weekend. It's part of who I am. It's part of how I work best. And one challenge I have had, as I know, I'm sure you have as well, Tom, is that you and I have some similar kind of working practices in that my normal, kind of landscape for doing my best work is going on journeys. I don't do a lot of work. I don't kind of tend to do work transatlantically, but I do on the continent of Europe. So there'd be train rides, there would be plane rides, there would be an opportunity to spend a morning in Munich or Madrid or Amsterdam, go and get coffee, walk around. Those days were my kind of favorite kinds of days. I miss that. You know, I miss that enormously. Even, you know, getting the train for 40 minutes from my local station here in Leon C and, you know, walking around King's Cross Soho, all those kind of things, which up until tomorrow midnight, I suppose I can be kind of doing. But what I have learned is about being much more self-sufficient in terms of my curiosity and creativity. Hmm. I used to get my creative sparks walking along the River Thames with Tom in March, going to Amsterdam, meeting up with someone in Madrid, going on that wonderful train ride to Edinburgh as you hug the coast and going up there and all those kind of things. You know, I've had to learn how to stay curious and have those creative sparks closer to home. And it's been quite a challenge, but I think I've quite enjoyed and relished that. I've relished that challenge. So, you know, that's changed. That's changed. And if you'd said that to me, if I knew how long the pandemic was going to last, or the lockdown was going to last rather, not the pandemic, I think I might have freaked out. Like, what? You mean I can't go on a plane in October? But you know, we are very resilient people, aren't we, human beings? And it's amazing how all of us have, I mean, I know it hasn't come without its struggles, but how we've embraced change.
So that last piece feels like a real insight around being more self-sufficient around curiosity and creativity. And I can empathize and understand that. And the phrase stay curious comes to mind. And what can we do to stay curious? Because I mean, a little bit around my work background is I've been a remote worker, or I prefer to call it work from anywhere and make it more of a hybrid. But I've been working from anywhere for 27 years. And yes, my client work has been often on Zoom or the equivalent for well more than a decade. And I would go visit them every few months. So I have up until COVID, I've invested in a small investment in a startup called Pawprint, which is about letting us see what our carbon footprint is with every part of part of the paw. And of course mine, if you add up, I'm pretty good at all of that. Except for the fact I typically fly well over 100,000 miles a year. And you suddenly took me back to midsummer 2019, and a client I've been working with in Alberta for years asked me to go lead a leadership team offsite. And because of the 7-hour time difference, I deliberately arrived a day early. And I'd never been to Edmonton, Alberta, a very unusual city of 1 million people in the middle of nowhere. And I arrived a day early in midsummer. It was lovely and warm. And the summer in Canada, as you may know, is very short. And I just spent a day wandering around Edmonton. And I left my phone in the hotel room deliberately. Mm-hmm. You know, as Tolkien would say, not all those who wander are lost. And I thought, I'll find my way back there. It's, you know, in the middle of town. And I wandered for like 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And just took the extra day. And yeah, that's a really interesting insight, that learning to be more self-sufficient with our curiosity. I'll throw something else at you in a moment. And on March the 8th, I write daily on my website. And on March the 8th, I wrote a blog called Act Now. And it seemed like in the UK, only myself and Rory Stewart were saying, lockdown now, please. Every day counts. And the UK government did lock down for another 15 days. On September the 20th, I wrote a blog saying, are you ready for the second lockdown? Saying it was coming. Well, it took the UK government 6 weeks to announce the second lockdown. And I'm not a genius. I'm just quite good at maths or arithmetic. And exponential arithmetic is pretty easy to predict. So then I posted something to that effect on LinkedIn, I think, at the weekend. And somebody went, that one of the health ministers in the UK had gone, when challenged on how long they took, said, you'd need a crystal ball. And they said, Tom, you're a crystal ball. So what does the crystal ball say next? So Ian, I'm going to put it to you right now as a viable scenario that the lockdown they've announced that takes into effect tomorrow night in the UK for 4 weeks will not be lifted until Easter. Mm-hmm. So what comes next if you were to look at that scenario, from what you've learned in the next 8 months, what comes next for you, both for yourself and your family, and then aligning to your clients? From what you've learned, what will you apply? What will you do differently? It could be around self-sufficiency and curiosity and creativity. But if we're going to be locked down for another 5 months, not 2.5 months like last time, but five months in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at it from a purpose standpoint, because you and I do what we do because we want to help people and want to be a support to them. Mm. So how can we support ourselves and how can we support others? What would your thoughts be on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so we're going to have this current scenario till Easter. You know, I've learned a lot about, just thinking about the Ian Sanders Company for a minute, I've learned a lot professionally about, I've always had a few strings to my bow. You know, I wrote two books about being multidimensional, juggle and mashup. And that come in handy because I have a number of strings to my bow, storytelling projects, which really lend themselves very well to be kind of location independent. Pivoted some of the coaching stuff online, but not that much. And then obviously, you know, kind of the workshops and presentations running off sites that you and I have in common. And I think, you know, what I had to do, I had to have a spirit of, I think I talked about it in a blog post in the summer, as kind of rebuilding. It felt like rebuilding. You know, I had to kind of rebuild things, and I like that sense of kind of rebuilding. So I suppose I kind of rebuilt the business, and what I've put in place now took a while to come to fruition, as it always does. Now I find myself in a position where that portfolio of what I've got on is good and sustainable and would not be affected by us continuing with a lockdown until Easter. Your question also asked about how I might feel about that on a more of a personal level or family level. And I'll tell you right here and now that it's not as attractive when it's winter. And I can, you know, I love going to coffee shops, and until Leon sees coffee shops are closed, you know, I went out to one this morning and I'm going to go out to another one tomorrow and have lunch at another one, try and support these traders before they have to close. And I've been talking to the owners and they said, yeah, you know, we're going to do takeouts, Ian, and great, I'm going to support them by doing takeouts. But, you know, I love a crisp autumnal day, but if it's really, really raining and miserable, you know, I'm not going to be able to necessarily enjoy having that coffee sitting on the seawall. So I do think this time of year comes with some challenges for our emotional well-being. I guess as a note to self, Tom, I would go back to something I said earlier, and this is a nice opportunity for me to give myself a sticky note to self, which is that I want to be kind to myself, to make sure that you know, I run a workshop called More Good Days at Work, and as a little booklet there you might have seen, which is part of that proposition.
Work. So just Ian's holding up for the podcast listeners later, 10 sparks to ignite your day at work. And I love that idea of that workshop. What was it called again?
It's called More Good Days at Work.
More Good Days.
And you know, in that, Tom, I have a checklist of things that we're all different, right? We all need different habits, behaviors, and rituals in our working day. I know what I need. I know that I need a walk, rain or shine. I know that I need some music on. I know that I need a coffee. And on the days when I'm working really long hours, or might be a Thursday or Friday, I'll have a glass of red wine or a beer up here in the attic while I'm working. And I say to myself and people around me, and clients and leaders I work with, and my partner Zoe, who's my business partner as well as my wife, works on projects with me, especially at the moment. We say to each other, you know, what are those ingredients that you need, and have you done them? So for Zoe, it might be finding some time to do an online yoga class, get up early in the morning to do that. What do we need? We've got the little, I won't romanticize it too much, but the bottom of the garden, we've got a kind of little ramshackle summer house, because we're north-facing garden, and we've got a summer house at the bottom of the garden, and it's quite old. We're not too precious about it. In March, I wrote in pencil on the wall and directed my two sons and my wife to what I'd written. I said, do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. And what I meant by that, and I'm going to remind everyone of that, is that, you know, we have to do whatever it takes to stay on top of things and have good mental health and look after ourselves during a challenging time. Yeah. And if we feel, God, I'm really busy, but I really want to go for a run, or I want to go for a walk, or I just need to crank up some music really loud, or you know what, I feel a bit grumpy, so I'm just going to go and be by myself. All those things, I think, really matter. And for me and the people around me and people I work with, that's what I'll be continuing to advocate, accepting that from now until Easter is quite a time and it's a challenge. And I think we all need to look after ourselves in order that we can be better human beings, better bosses, better leaders, better fathers, better husbands, better best friends, and all the rest of it. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, I mean, I've had some moments of difficulty the last few months. Yeah. And the kids were homeschooling and it was all like crazy. I was like, you know, so let's be kind to ourselves and let's acknowledge what we're going through.
Right. And before we got on this live, we have a constraint of 30 minutes, so we'll finish in a few. So I'll take the liberty, you talked about how if we're normally chatting, we'd riff. So I'll take the liberty of injecting a couple of things from two client conversations today. And first one is that, because this may be a benefit to the later listeners, people viewing now. There's a coaching adage I believe in that the first thing a client says to you in a conversation is the most important thing they'll say all day. And I don't mean the first words of chit chat. I mean the first words with energy attached. And a client today talked about fear of the unknown and then went into the detail. So the one question I asked them when it was time for me to ask them a question was, so what do you know? So you'd talked about uncertainty. There's a difference between unplanning and just having this existential uncertainty that we had going into the first lockdown. So that then links into a second thought is when you talk about being kinder to yourself and using that as an anchor for yourself and your family, two thoughts around that. One is give yourself permission. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you have a family context of whatever it takes is the language you used. I had a client today who said the most remarkable thing. All right. And I think they lead a large global company. And the question that the thing that they stated is that they want all of their leaders around the world to be saying and to really mean this and say is, what do you need and how do we build it for you? And I thought, like, oh my God, it goosebumps went through me. Mm. Right. And so they're told, you know, what do we need and how do we build it for you? And that could be for their clients. They're not in construction, but you know what I mean? But imagine every layer down the business and imagine if that's upwards and downwards. And if a member of staff says to their line manager, what do you need and how can we build it for you? If they say, you know, what does the company need? Because the company, you know, needs to be supported as well. And the company says to every member of staff, what do we need and how can we build it for you? So for people viewing or listening, I guess my thoughts from those experiences and from listening to you is no matter how long and how difficult this is, let's concentrate on what we do know, right? Because then that can reduce the fear of uncertainty, the fear of the unknown by saying, well, what certainties do we have in life? And that helps with what I call a proactive resilience list. So keeping a routine, you know, and then linking to your thought around, you know what you need and whatever it takes is what do you need and how can we build it for you? And, you know, giving yourself permission. So I think there's a lot in what you said, which drew a few thoughts from me. And, you know, let's not sugarcoat it. It's going to be quite shit at times, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the coming months, and it's the winter in the Northern Hemisphere. And yeah, giving yourself permission and being kind to yourself, I think is profoundly simple and very powerful advice. And count the things that count and pay attention to what really matters at a level that we'd never had before. And whether it's for ourselves individually, for our businesses, for those we lead. But that's what we need to do. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Fantastic. Great conversation, Ian, and we are creatively constrained, as Steve Chapman would say, a previous guest on the show.
I enjoyed that.
So thank you. It's been a lot of fun. So where can people find you, Ian? Because I'm also too lazy to make show notes on a podcast.
No, of course. I don't blame you. So it's iansanders.com and on the socials, I'm at Ian Sanders. So that's nice and easy.
Easy as can be. And, people, well, by the time they find this, they should be able to find me, and I'm at tommcallum.com. So we are named after ourselves. Okay, well, you have to go on the school run and pick up one of your kids.
Okay.
Life goes on. So with that, many thanks, Ian Sanders.
Thanks a lot, Tom. All the best. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot.